listeners, contributors, community partners that help to keep WEFT viable and on the air.
And I always like to let you know that if your organization has an upcoming fundraiser or wish to provide a service to the community, and be it a music or art event, workshop, or educational seminar, simply send a short script to WEFT at psa@weft.org, and we'll be sure to include it in our on-air public service announcements. You can also drop a flyer off here at the station or mail it to WEFT, 113 North Market Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial. And I'm wanting to implore you, especially if in the Monticello area. Monticello area has been a natural retreat for people who are wanting to escape from a flatland. And it has been a natural point where you have moraines and rolling hills and a river, Sangamon River, and natural areas like Lodge Park and Allerton Park. That complex has been augmented by add-ons. The early settlement was from Musgrave, where people came up the river and created a water wheel for grinding grain and sawing logs. Eventually that was moved to the modern side of Monticello, and it's a somewhat of an antique city with an existing county seat, and it's got an intact square where it used to have city buildings right there. It's been dispersed a little, but I want to add that we're working on three corridors that surround Monticello, and there have been add-ons. One of them is Redwood Museum. One of them is a sporting complex, a library complex, which is recent, and it's a nice place to be at, whether you're in close proximity to that site or coming in from other countries or overseas. It's one of the few places where there is a potential for extended historic trains, for natural areas, and for recreational trails. And the corridor that goes west from White Heath needs your attention, because when the railroads closed out 35 years ago, the the towns lost some of their vigor, because many of the towns were providing the manpower to run the trains and run the elevators. If we're at White Heath, it is a hub for the Railroad Museum and for nature and nurture. I beg you to be involved, because those towns that have lost some of their vigor because of the situation can be revitalized. And White Heath is one, and White Heath is having a 150th anniversary. But we need people to know, whether you're in town as a person that has been there as an employee of the railroads or the elevators, or if you are a specialist or a person that has just come to be interested. So I'm begging you, in whatever interest you have, to be involved. It takes the wee folk, little folk, at the local level to work with the state, the federal government. This is multi-million-dollar stuff, and it's we only put together right now the skeletons, and that one very good skeleton goes from White Heath down to Shady Rest and across Mattis Creek and up to Lodge, to Land, Weldon Lane, and then to another water system, another catchment area, which is dammed for the Clinton Power Plant Lake. And Weldon Springs State Park is right nearby. Two state parks very heavily used. You have to know that that corridor is worth a lot of money. It, in the sense that it will bring wealth to the communities. We have adequate precedents for that. There are very few of these corridors in East Central Illinois because every inch of ground under a railroad bed is useful for agriculture. But in this region, we need some of these sort of long trails that let people enjoy themselves and exercise. The Clinton End is particularly valuable because 5 miles of our railroad bed goes down across the Salt Creek and up over the Hensley Moraine, which gives it a character like the Saragota Moraine at Monticello. So this is a valuable corridor, but we need people to know about that. We're having some invasions at the moment, and we want to know that this is public territory, and our titles are good, and we paid our taxes for 34 years. So we need your help to elucidate this trail. One of the helps needed is to go down to Shady Rest with just walking. It's very traditional for people to walk down the railroad bed. There's an embankment, so it's not possible to walk down beside the railroad bed. We would like to surface it with some material that would be permanent in the future. Perhaps a rail corridor could go down there. But when it comes to 150th anniversary, we would like to have that corridor cleared of vegetation enough so that they could walk across a trestle bridge without hurting themselves or freaking out. And we need to know that that corridor has potential. It is a designated soil water conservation easement, so it has that sort of status, and it continues through to the Norfolk Southern Line at Lodge. And if you had imagination for the future, you could take a rail car from the Nelson's Crossing, go north on 7 miles of trackage, and go down to Shady Rest and hold at Chautauqua in old-time style. People used to get together with horses and carts and share political information and religious ceremonies, and Chautauquas were kind of a riot. So the Shady Rest is a 30-acre plot of land that was platted for a town, and on either side of the railroad line. The town never happened, and we don't quite know why, but other places like White Heath were probably higher and drier and more appropriate. What we need you to do is to help us to clear that trail, and we have some imagination. It's being researched at the academic level, university level, that hemp can create a fiber and create a reinforced, puddled fiber piece of concrete that was simulated concrete that is flexible and permanent, and it doesn't rust like rebar rusts after many years. When the concrete falls apart, then you don't have the flexibility. So we're looking at an industrial movement that is coming forth. We have industrial people who understand that this is useful for industrial improvements, perhaps as long away as 50 or 60 years. So the theoretical people have worked out that this is a very interesting thing to do. It makes a stronger tile, a more flexible tile, and it also applies to any other structure that has rebar in it. We would like to commit with the people who are doing wind farms. The wind farms are north of Shady Rest, north of Lodge, and we would be agreeable to have the power that is joined together to get into a grid and come across the Heartland Pathways at a location west of Lodge. That means a serious easement for many years. The power line would go to a peaker plant that runs when peak energy is needed and goes on to the national grid. If you understand these things, this all adds to increasing the value of this. So I'm begging you to look at this natural, attractive retreat area with surrounding add-ons, and look to local activity, statewide activity. That means politicians, and to federal government for support. That might not be now. This may be a skeleton for many years, but it's the sort of thing that we design for future generations. If it happens now, that would be very nice. Sometimes things change politically, and we get to work with things we never imagined we could get done. But this is dreaming at a very high level, and we're looking at an industry that will change. We anticipate, once again, it's guesswork, it will take over in many years' time. Doesn't always catch on. Sometimes you have people like people who have invented no-till farming and found it very useful, but it didn't take on for about 20 years. Some medical improvements have had the same sort of delay because there was tacit reluctance to do that. But we need you to know that you can go down to Shady Rest, and the early involvement would be walking down there, and that's been very traditional. In the long run, we would hope that we would have ties made with hemp, and we would experiment with 2,000 tithes down to Shady Rest. And that would mean that you could walk and have a train go down there occasionally, only very seldom. But it's a niche, and it has a place for people who come to the Railroad Museum to see the Sangamon, to see the bottomland forest, to see the native plants, and to go to an upland of the Cerro Gordo Moraine and have upland trees and forest. Very valuable to a region that has no other complex of this nature. So again and again, we're begging you to be involved. The first involvement is to take out the vegetation so people that can actually walk down there. You go to pass some settlement from the Railroad Museum, which has a Y at that point, so it's part of the hub that is created at White Heath. Then you go down, there's some regrowth succession on either side, and that has its own interest. You can watch the trees grow where they didn't grow before. It was cultivated area. And you can wander along the embankment. You encounter a culvert, a small culvert here and there, a little bit of erosion, so you may have to do some fill. But that corridor down to Shady Rest has a large trestle that goes over a creek that enters a little bit north of Shady Rest. That in itself is interesting. It also can be very frightening to people who have not dealt with heights. It's not all that high, but it's sort of scary. And you need to put down planks so that people don't have to skip and jump on ties, or you also have to have handrails on the side to allow the people to be safe. When you go that way, you also encounter forests that have been kept native for many, many years. The creek, that Madden Creek, that comes in there from another direction, is also relatively native. The soils underneath are native. And it is possible to have some of our prairie preservation on the sides. We've given the Railroad Museum and Associates the possibility that they own the ballast, so that if they put in something like a rail in 60 or 100 years' time, they will have ownership and will not have the work pulled out from underneath them because there are other people owning. So we go up to Lodge. At that point, you encounter a Norfolk Southern Railroad, and there's the possibility that you can take that corridor down to Bucks Pond and down to Monticello and back up to Nelson's Crossing. And that creates interesting an experience. And people enjoy doing that, and you, if you can organize a restauranting on the rails, that might be something in the real future. So we're dreaming, and we hope you will dream too. We just need that involvement where local, state, and federal people will come together to provide East Central Illinois with a regional retreat that has interesting add-ons that improve the quality of life. There's a recent move to put a regional sporting complex in. The library has been remodeled with $2 million, and we're in a location where we're near to prairie that has been preserved because we stood there and preserved it. It's not the best prairie, but it's what we have. And we've learned since initially, I thought we could have a trail and preservation too, but it's, the research and national experience is that if you put a rail trail through a natural area, there will be no native remnant prairie left. It's absolutely certain that it will be lost. So we're changing dimensions and keeping natural history on the Allerton side together. And there's been an increase in the adjacent natural areas that would allow people to experience nature there from the side rather than through the middle. And the gene pool is partly preserved by regrowth prairie, a little bit of grasses, and perhaps 1,000 3-year-old plants of 12 different species to allow that corridor to be a natural area. That area is near to recreation, but there are several different ways of getting to Allerton, and one of them might be less deleterious to the nature by going along County Farm Road. If that sort of thing is available, it might take 100 years to do it, it may, but dream for future generations that are coming, less and less of the nature to enjoy. And don't be afraid of changing dimensions from recreation to preservation, because we don't even know what biochemicals are in that area of in those leaves and roots and in the bacteria and fungi that are in the soils around. We need it, and it's the ecosystem is almost extinct because it has been so rich that the prairie was taken out in bulk without many questions, and very few people know the species that would be found in like 10,000 acres of prairie and before settlement. Once the Lilliasic and purchase was achieved, then everyone could buy their land for 7 cents an acre or $1.25. It was often by peasants coming from Ireland facing a potato famine or something like that, all by entrepreneurs who knew what they were buying in bulk and selling off to towns or villages or other agencies, including farmers. So there's a lot of speculation here. And it moved fast, so fast that our local ecosystem, Champaign County was 94% prairie, is almost extinct. That is sort of an insult to the world for you to take out a world-renowned ecosystem and leave a cultural, biological desert. So if you understand that, we need your support, we need you to talk to each other, we need you to walk down the corridors and find out where we're talking about. And that's somewhat repetitive, but we've been going through the formation of not-for-profit corporations, and this is one of those situations where not-for-profit corporations have helped to preserve this corridor. there's some invasion. Some people have bought land on either side of the major track, but that is minor detail compared with the overall corridor, which is public domain. That's why people, parliamentarians, put together not-for-profit organizations, so that people would get ideas and move them forth without having to face a lot of red tape and a cost. So you're looking at possibilities. Even if you have your own idea that you want to do something about anything like herbicide, we have a problem that we have prairie under easements for power. And if that power line was covered by chainsaws and axes, and it was less deleterious to the prairie. But if you discover glyphosate compounds and you make a cocktail that is going to keep a tree out for 3 years, you have mine and Buckley's chance of having a prairie. So you, as a person that's interested in herbicides, could put together an organization, might be four or five people, and think beautiful thoughts about how you might ask Ameren to not use herbicides on a heavily prairied area. We've done that, they've agreed, and there will be replacement prairie seeding on areas that have been disturbed. The disturbance is serious because Ameren usually waits till the soil is frozen, and then heavy equipment can, like cranes lifting up towers that are high, they make marks, and the ruts are up to 10 inches deep, and that compacts the soil, so that's not awfully good. So we have to keep our eyes on that sort of thing. So if you drive along Route 10 at the moment, you'll see a number of four-point steel towers that have been obsoleted by the fact that their towers are rotting at the roots. Then they're being replaced by single poles that are 70 or 80 feet tall. And unfortunately, there has been no frozen soil, and the damage to the prairie, the compaction, has been serious. So we have to balance out our objectives, but it takes some get up and go to say, we want to ask you not to have herbicide, especially on that particular piece. We also want to ask that if you're on a prairie, you do more than replace just grasses. Grasses grow easily and they can dominate and they wave their wooden leg in the wind and they're interesting, but they can dominate. So in some cases where early research on replacement prairies was done, there was too much grasses, and the broadleaves, like 110 different broadleaves, would have a hard time surviving. So early grassland prairies have often been removed in order to create an opportunity for broad-based broadleaf plants that are subject to the lack of herbicide. So you can form your own particular interest in whatever it is. If it's compaction, it might be two or three of you that will ask questions about compaction. If it's reseeding, you want to know when it's reseeded. You want to know when it might be mown, because weeds grow in disturb soil, and they can dominate a prairie. So you plant after the last seeding and last mowing of that seed to reduce the weed seed population, and then you allow the prairie to grow deep roots. You'll not even see plants, broadleaf plants growing. But when it comes to spring, again, the weed plants will come up, and you have to manage that. So going down to Shady Rest, we might be asking people to who are entrepreneurs who believe in the value of the hemp type puddled high aluminum, high silicon clay, and to create an experimental corridor that is more permanent or very permanent, and could have a rail corridor on either side. You'd bring up the material in the between so people could walk and as they usually used to do and still do to go down to Shady Rest to fish or to have a cabin for a weekend or to enjoy just walking down that area just for 1 mile is really a refreshing experience. We do have bicycles that like to do wheelies up and down the slope, but that can be controlled, and the forest preserve has been donated this land, and they are responsible in perpetuity people, so they can get grant money and they can qualify for state and federal funds and for grant money and for local involvement too. We're looking to perhaps go down to Shady Rest with experimental ties. If we do that, we are also talking to a wind vane company, Apex, and suggesting that their pedestals, which are loaded with rebar and will rot so that they're not sustainable after 20, perhaps 90 years, and you don't know how long, but those rebars rust and the ties break down and you have to replace them. We don't have trees to do this with. The trees have long since been utilized. If you go down there, you'll find strange plants like coffee. It's a local, fairly rare plant. You see Jack in the Pulpit and squirrel corn and Dutchman's breeches and spring beauties, all of which have been working as the spring is in. If you don't want to walk down there, you can drive down. You go to Route 10 and drive over the Sangamon, and about a mile more, there's a housing settlement there, and you turn left. You take a road, it used to be called Monticello Road, but now it's called Shady Rest Road. And you can go down there, and there's a parking lot, and you can use trails that have already been established by the Forest Preserve. So we have a site that has the support, and we want the clean energy people, the green energy people, who have a mission of green energy, but they also have a mission of making money, and we would like them to be involved so that when we go to ask for support, we have people who will have the clout to help us do that. It's not always easy, so we're asking the wind farm people to not only pay us for a permanent easement, but also to be a part of our efforts, because they in turn will probably benefit from the new form of puddled clay and various types of fiber, including the one that you know more as a marijuana, but it is not necessarily providing a lot of THC or chemicals. It's a different variety, and we need farmers to produce that, so there's a spin-off for here. So knowing that sort of spin-off is very, very helpful. So if you have people in your area who know what we're trying to do, then that is tremendously helpful. Just talk to each other and see how we can fit into the 150th anniversary. The Railroad Museum is hoping that they might go around to Champaign with historic trains, and that will involve rerailing Heartland Passways 4 miles to Seymour, and then from Seymour to Staley, which is on the west side of Champaign, the railroad line has been abandoned, and we would like to buy that line intact. Will probably cost about $3 million. So we're talking about large money, but it's money that's spent that will be there for hundreds of years, and the per person cost over hundreds of years will be very low. We have to do it now. This is the only chance you have. If the line closes out and it's demolished, it's never going to be there again. So my high horse at the moment is to try and save that corridor and generate your help to do that. Small meetings, 3 people in a coffee shop, just thinking different ideas. And please involve retirees who can help, and for young people who know that what they're going to have as natural areas the future are going to be much less than what their grandparents had or their early settlers 6 generations ago. That may be a little mean to suggest you spend some of your day looking at this corridor, which is a very publicly valuable territory. But it's worthwhile. The reward at the end of the mission is worthwhile, and it may take generations to prove it, but we have an example in the Kickapoo Trail where we bought early, and those of us who bought early and were having the trails used were surprised to make a deal with hikers and bikers to save vital railroad beds. The railroads in the early 80s had a Steiger's Act which allowed short lines to close out and abandon. Many of those went back to agriculture. But if we can look at that federal documentation, which allowed a federal groundbreaking act to provide interim trail use for hikers and bikers and biologists and other users. So we took out a surface transportation board agreement with the closing Conrail and the ourselves and the Surface Transportation Board. Very few people were game to buy the bird. It wasn't that expensive. But to buy the bird and so we didn't find anyone that was prepared to do that. So we got game. We'd already bought a 33 miles of railroad bed and paid for it. So we made an application to the Surface Transportation Board, which administers the Federal Rail Banking Act, and we succeeded in getting a docket, which eventually brought the locals about $12 million. So we were leveraging money there. So now the working budget for that corridor of 25 miles is probably about $25 million. And it's spread around with park districts and schools and individuals and state grant money that's made it a very valuable site. It's been developed in phases, and the phases are completed in some cases, but not completed in others. There's a bridge that's 100 feet high, a quarter mile long, and it's been completed with part of these funds that are $3 million to convert the rail bed to a trail, but it still conserves the rail bed. If an industry wants to come back with rail from Danville to Champaign, they can do that. They have to buy the line back and do the re-railing, but it saved the bed, and that's rather valuable. At the end of this corridor is a Kickapoo State Park, so you have interest there that augment your experience on a railbed. The corridors are not completely finished. We had hoped that they would be finished before we wanted to advertise movement west from White Heath to Shady Rest, to Lodge, to DeLand, to Weldon, to Lane, to Clinton Power Plant Lake, to Weldon Springs State Park, and Clinton. So it's coming a little early. So we're asking you to walk that trail and see what its potential is and do some dreaming. And so much of this is repetitive attempts to get you to be involved. The interesting thing is that some of the phases that have been already established have benefited from this sociologically, economically, and it's kind of friendly. And this has precedence throughout the country. Not in the central Illinois, because the soil is so rich that you don't have this sort of opportunity. This is one of rare opportunities. St. Joe is a good example. The restaurant at the end of the line has done well, and it's likely that stores are there that are active because of the railroad line and its connections. And there are little pieces of prairie here and there that are institutional remnant prairies from 10,000 years ago. And the soil is there and it's maintained. We're a little sad that we have sporting complexes right close, but we have to live with that. And we have to teach people, please do not mow the prairie in a manner that allows us to, or discourages its growth. And we also want you to mow when in danger, or species that we don't need are growing but come to head way before the August 1st deadline for starting to mow. So you have this fluffy seed going all over the farmland and creating a mess. So a little bit of local involvement and thinking and perhaps some sort of a thorough interest where people get to know the species and know their value. We have had very little application of money to research, and unless there's some real need, and so then it usually is the research and simulated chemicals can be made to simulate that. That research takes 50 people, researchers, and 50 years to do that. So it's long-term stuff, and we want you to be involved in preserving the leg that's outside Allerton Park, which doesn't otherwise have much remnant prairie. What we have is very little. It's a linear corridor of 4 miles, and it only samples what you would get in a 10,000 acre lot. So you might only have a few species, but that happens to be all we have left. Everything else has been dug up. So we're wanting you to understand that, and we're wanting some of the people who are recreators to understand and appreciate that we don't want road cuts through that corridor that would destroy the minimal pieces of remnant prairie that we have. Over 34 years, the prairie has grown up on the ballast, and it's rewilding the prairie. So that becomes a natural area. And there's a battle, because you could easily put a trail through the middle, but we have changed our mind as we find the research and experience what damage a recreational trail can do. Talking about this in Monticello or Whiteheath or in the small communities involved is rather important to do. And I'm encouraging you to do that, and to do it fairly quickly, because this is happening now. We're having the invasion across the railroad bed, and they're saying, you prove that you own the land, and our deed specialists are saying, your titles are good, you do own the land. So we're hopeful that we'll get this corridor 23 miles to Clinton, and we need your involvement in thinking about it. So please walk the line and work it. I'm looking at the time. I think we have some quarter an hour left. I didn't record the time. These trails are often in other places take years to put together. You have a few miles here and a few miles there, and eventually you get connections, and connections to natural areas and features, whether it's a railroad museum or a theatrical company, and gradually that has happened mostly on the East Coast and the West Coast, and the Rail Banking Act has encouraged a national rail-to-trail movement, which has national trails all over, at least 20,000 miles of railroad bed, perhaps even more, like 30,000. So we're encouraging you to think about the Midwest, which is a rail trail desert and a prairie desert. And we want you to think about your native ecosystem before it goes extinct. Just go to Shady Rest and look at the plants that are growing. They start in the spring. They move across the seasons, and that might not be spectacular, but then again, it has periods of peak. So you get to know the peaks. You get to know the characters of the plants. That awareness is part of your education and part of your recreation. And we hope that you will try to understand that corridor 1 mile down to Shady Rest and down to the river, and hopefully to involve an Apex green energy company that has wind vanes, but it also has the opportunity to look at a new technology with fiber rather than with rebar. At the Clinton end, where there's this whole corridor is almost on top of the Mahomet Valley, the 80,000 people drink from this corridor. So you have people who are very aware of it. If we go to meetings at Weldon, then we will hear the water person say that these aquifers are being dried up by pumping of wells in different towns. So there may be 12 or 18 towns that are drawing water from the edge of the Mahomet Aquifer. At the end, there's a landfill. And the landfill is about half a mile away from the Heartland Pathways Corridor. It is a landfill that attracted the deposit of polyvinyl cords that are not ideal to have in a landfill that's actually very close to an aquifer. So you need to know about that. You need to know that there are people who own land that also have had forests. They've picked over the forest and cut it, but that forest could go to someone. I've been a party to that. The owner of one corridor west of Clinton wanted to donate that forest, probably about 65 acres, to someone who was involved in art. And she herself had become a national level dancer, Barbara Hammer. Which brings in how we work together. It has been that we study and research in a very monolithic way, but the Beckman Center and others are designed to encourage people to come together in groups, so that if you have a tornado, you might put together numbers of the pressures that you experience in the surroundings, and eventually the artists inform you that the tornado has children. And so you bring together artists, scientists, educators, and that's a long way down the line. Somebody would say to you, are you saving curriculum materials for the future? And I would say yes. But if you look at B.C. Woods was the result of a growing interest in environment. And the park districts had sites here, there, and everywhere, Thornburn School and other places. And eventually they produced a need a purpose center. Well, that took about 5 years to come into action. And then it was so popular that it generated $1 million expansion. And that's the sort of thinking that you have to have. So if we're going down to Shady Wrist, if you want to have a biological teaching center, then you're going to have to be patient. It might take you 10 years to establish something that is costly to run. You have to person it. You have to have a location. You have to have sites that can be used without abusing the natural areas. You have to have sites where people can move and preserve bridges that are trust bridges and unique. You have to have safety. So you are looking for teams. And I'm wanting to encourage you to think about that here and now. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Cerro Gordo or Decatur or Danville. This is part of a complex. And if you're in Indianapolis and St. Louis and Chicago, there are people who are wanting to come. They have extra time available, and they want to come and find out who you are. And in their terms, they will share with you. And the internet has allowed that to happen. So right locally, we have to think about our building and whether it could be a center of retreat. We have administrative engineering things at front door that don't fit into gentrification. So that has to be removed, and we finish up with a gallery. We might have to take an ugly little piece of addition that was on the front. West next door took theirs off. We didn't have the money to do that, but we would like to do that and record this building as a historic building in a TIF district, which puts the taxes back into the local district. And we have planners who are in historic situations where some of the materials we have can be part of the history of Market Street, the era when there was a mafioso, and then an era when there was graphics to have linotypes and others and produce materials that went out to the communities where they pour their own lead into fiber optics facsimiles. So there's a history here. So we have to think about this, and we have to think about access. I think we're almost out of time. So this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial. And UPTV, right here, recording with me. Boomer is doing this and being very helpful. We're coming back into the era when we don't have to be controlled by the virus anymore. We can add pictures and make this into a video program that will be helpful at Channel 6 or on YouTube and on archives. So Thank you for listening. Keep your eye on this and work at it.